to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website, again, at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, you can sign up for our free seminars, you can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. And as a matter of fact, this week, let's welcome Elcon Electric as a new sponsor to the show.
Woo-hoo!
You can link to our Facebook page, you can link to our condo and HOA blog at hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, towing of vehicles in your community. That's sure to win friends and influence people, right? You can join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show. And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855-4-Condo Craze. And the law firm's website, that's condo-laws.com. Again, condo-laws.com.
Well, before we start, I understand that, Eric, you have some good news to share.
Yeah, sure do, Karen. The Florida Community Association Journal has asked me to write a monthly question and answer column specifically on HOA law, and I'm certainly honored by their offer, and I'm certainly going to take them up on it. So now you don't just get to ask your HOA questions on the radio, but you can certainly also submit your HOA questions by email directly to me, and you can look for the answers to your questions each month in the Florida Community Association Journal. So again, thank you very much again to the Florida Community Association Journal, and I sincerely look forward to doing that column. And if you want to get a glimpse of what the Florida Community Association Journal is all about, just go to www.flcaj.com. Again, FLCAJ.com.
Well, last show, we had Jeff Alm from Associa here in the studio helping us to take calls from our listeners because Scotty was out for his birthday.
Yeah.
We also spent lots of time talking about what truly ails people that live in our community associations, and it was pretty clear that the answer was continuing to pay the expenses of the non-paying unit owners.
Absolutely.
We spoke about the fact that the unit owners have no merchandise. If they have no merchandise or visitors in their unit, they are not violating their documents by doing some business at their condominium on their home computers. And we spent lots of time learning about how the board can make rules that promote the health, happiness, and enjoyment of the life of the community members, but certainly can't make rules that are arbitrary or capricious.
Yeah, and we spent some time last week talking about a real important case in condo law called the Hidden Harbor case, which is the one where the court said that the board had the authority to make actually a rule that prevents alcoholic beverages from being consumed in the clubhouse. This week, though, a little different. I get a call from an owner that said their board just made a rule which basically shuts down access to the clubhouse completely, including the bathrooms. And this is a property that's right off the pool area. And they shut it down to anyone that who doesn't actually have a key to the clubhouse area. And guess who are the only people who actually wind up having keys to the clubhouse?
Oh,
of course, just the board members.
Board members.
Yeah, so after politely letting the board members know that this is going to lead to a problem and, you know, potentially an arbitration case or a lawsuit, the board did the right thing and allowed everybody access during reasonable hours. But here's the nice thing about this guy. Even though this guy kept calling my office, or I should say emailing my office, and was so upset about this, you know, crazy board rule, he kept writing to me, though, unlike a lot of people. I understand how difficult the job of a board member is, and I know they have to make reasonable rules, and they want to keep the pool area and the kitchen and the bathrooms looking good. So I understand completely, and I don't like to second-guess them. He was almost apologetic for the actions that they were taking. And you know what? I think he showed that to them, and he wound up getting some cooperation from them in the long term, whereas someone might just yell and scream at board members and say, you're crazy, you're doing the wrong thing, we're going to sue. And that's when you probably don't get any cooperation. So here, being nice actually paid off.
Yeah, well, good for him. But, you know, when we're talking about rules that boards can promulgate, like everything else, though, what's reasonable to one person may not be reasonable to another. But there's no question that the board will be given some leeway in terms of rulemaking. And if the board can make a believable argument that their rule promotes the health and safety of the residents, the courts will normally uphold the rule.
Yeah, I agree. Courts are definitely going to give the board some leeway pursuant to, you know, the business judgment rule. But let's move on. Let's remind everybody, last weekend, of course, was Memorial Day. And that means that the summer is here. And in Florida, that oftentimes equates to lots and lots of empty condominium units because the owners are returning up north. But the lesson for today is just because you leave your Florida condominium for a few months, that doesn't mean that your responsibility to maintain your unit stops once you start driving north and hit the Georgia border. Scott, tell them what we mean.
Well, you know, every declaration of condominium has a general clause that requires the owner of a unit to maintain his or her unit in good condition. I mean, that just makes sense. In fact, arbitration decisions have held that where an owner does not reside in the unit, it is incumbent on the owner to routinely and periodically examine and inspect the unit to ensure the absence of leaks and conditions that would otherwise lead to damage to the building and its occupants. In recognition of the fact that where multiple owners occupy a single building, a problem that develops in one unit may well affect other units and the common element components of the building as well. And we have a case that Eric wanted me to bring to everybody's attention. It's an arbitration decision that was decided about 7-8 years ago called Los Prados Condominium Association v. Lemley. And in that case, it talked about the exact problem that we were talking about here.
Yeah.
So is that kind of a warning to the snowbirds out there that just because their unit is out of sight for the summer doesn't mean that their unit should be also out of mind?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that's what the arbitrator was saying in the Los Prados case that Scott was talking about. You know, for example, you know, if you're going up north, make sure that your air conditioning unit is left on. Don't shut it off. You know, and keep it, you know, at least, you know, 79 degrees. Make sure it doesn't go temperature in the unit doesn't go above 79 degrees. Why, of course? Because it can result in mold in the unit.
Right.
You know, also make sure that a neighbor checks on the unit every now and then. And you know, certainly give the board a key to your unit just in case they need to get in. You know, it never fails. We get calls throughout the summer that a unit owner is gone. They went back up north, and a leak is somehow started in your unit, like an AC goes bad, for example. You know, what should the association do, and who's responsible for what? We get calls like that all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, and while we're on the subject of repairs, the question we get asked most often on the, you know, on the radio show, everybody, is who bears the responsibility for damages caused to a unit by a leak or, you know, even, in, you know, pest infestation like termites or roaches or something like that? And the answer often surprises many owners. In another case, Halleck v. Royal Hawaiian Club Condo, this is another arbitration case from about 1995, it says here. The owners sued the association seeking money damages for a termite infestation in the unit. The arbitrator held that in order for a unit owner to recover from the association for damages to his or her unit, the unit owner must prove that the damage was caused by the association's failure to maintain or repair the common elements or other portion of the condominium property that is within the maintenance responsibility of the association.
Right. Case goes on, you know, further. In order to recover damages for injury to himself or his guests, or for damage to the unit that was caused by the common elements, an owner has a tough job. They have to prove that the association was negligent somehow in failing to repair the cause of the damage, or that the association breached its contractual duty under the deck to actually maintain the common elements. This isn't oftentimes easy.
No, just because a common pipe breaks and floods your unit, that doesn't mean that the association is automatically responsible for paying you for the damages in your unit.
That's exactly what people seem to get confused, Karen. You're exactly right. You know, again, the owner has to prove, even if that pipe breaks, that the association was negligent in failing to repair the leak, or that the association, again, breached its contractual duty under the deck to maintain the common areas. And similarly, if damage to a unit was caused, let's say, by a leak in the roof of the building, the association would be responsible for damages to that unit only if that roof is a common element, and then if the association was negligent in failing to repair that roof, or it breached its duty under the declaration to maintain that roof.
So I guess it becomes expensive and difficult for a unit owner to go and actually prove that the association failed in its responsibility to maintain the pipes or the roof should a leak occur?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing here, Karen. The unit owner is often at a disadvantage when attempting to prove that damage to his or her unit occurred as a result of the negligence of the association, because you're always going to need expert testimony, and that doesn't come cheap. In cases involving a small sum of money, maybe just a little bit of, stains to a wall or a ceiling, like the repair of a bathroom ceiling. It obviously may not be worth the cost of filing a lawsuit and getting an expert to determine, where this came from and if the association should have known about it, especially when you sue an association and you're suing for violation of the deck or the condo act, there's going to be prevailing party attorney's fees involved. And if you lose, you're going to flip the bill for the other side.
Yeah, lots to consider. How about we take our first call? How about Alan from Boca? How are you, Alan?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
How can we I have a question. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a question for you. I belong to a condo association, and this association, this document, was formed with 9 condo associations, so to speak, in essence, 9 corporations. For various reasons, there's unanimity in our board. We would like to get rid of this and make it one corporation instead of 9 separate condo associations in this one community.
Okay.
We've been told by a lawyer, this will wind up, we've been told by an attorney that it is a very difficult thing, that you must get 100% voting for this to in order for this to go through.
No, maybe not necessarily.
We find that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, so what do you have? You have 9 different corporations, 9 different corporate entities?
Yes.
In other words,
9 different condo associations set up with each. Yes.
Is there anything that binds you guys together other than the fact that you're neighbors? I mean, is there a master association already?
Yes. There's a master association, so to speak. In other words, the original documents were set up that way. It's one community in a very larger community, over 200 units in this community. So it's instead of having one corporation for the entire place, we have 9 separate ones. A board member from each community is represented. So we have 9 communities, 9 representatives.
Right. So in other words, it's like 9 different budgets and things of that nature. And well, you see,
we do put the budgets together, but in the end, it can be different in the sense that the water line on this one is different than the other one.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know what I mean?
You're the attorney. If this is the little nuances, the attorney is probably right where you would need 100%. If you're going to make yourself into one condominium, that's different than saying we're going to be governed by one condominium association. That's a totally different thing. Then you probably would just need each association to amend its governing documents, literally just changing the name of the association that's going to govern them. And that'd probably be done with a 2/3 vote or a 3/4 vote.
Whatever
your documents say, right? But there is a difference. There's a distinction between saying we're going to become one condominium or we're going to be governed by one condominium association. That's 2 different things. And the attorney that gave you the advice would be right, and you probably do need 100%. Plus, perhaps all of the mortgagees that are on the units, if you're going to become one condo, but not if you're going to be governed by one condo association. So, if you'd like, Alan, what you can do, give us a call in the office. We'd be glad to take a look at your documents and see if what we're talking about makes sense. Call us.
Thank you.
Yeah, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again,
855-4-CONDO-CRAZE,
and we'll talk to you tomorrow about it.
Okay? Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Alan. All right, let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour, and when we get back, we're going to talk about what other complaints Scott and I often hear during the summer doldrums. And just because there's no elections going on doesn't mean we don't get complaints about them once election season finishes. And, of course, we'll take all your calls and emails about anything and everything else in the world of condos and HOAs. Just give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If you've ever thought your management company puts their interest ahead of your association's, speak to Condominium Concepts Management. Get in touch with a professional management company that doesn't own other companies they try to push on your community. Condominium Concepts simply negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all of the savings are simply passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help your association, not take control of it. Nobody knows your condominium community better than you do. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time where every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye toward reducing expenses in your community and saving every unit owner money. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners, always applying a common-sense approach. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Need insurance for your condo or HOA? How about getting a question answered by your agent without it taking days or weeks? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz, because we specialize in providing insurance to condo associations and homeowners associations and are a clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989 and has written over $70 million in insurance premiums. And we're an independent insurance agency representing many insurance companies, which means we can provide the best coverage at the best price. Mack, Mack & Waltz can also provide insurance to unit owners, homeowners, the association, and even auto, boat, life, and health insurances. Our staff consists of licensed professionals, some of whom hold designations such as Certified Risk Manager and Certified Insurance Counselor. And in the event disaster strikes, Mack, Mack & Waltz is quick to respond. Our offices have their own generator and our own management system is web-based, so we can operate anywhere we have an internet connection. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your customer service, visit our website, mackinsurance.com, or call Brandon Levy at 954-640-6225. Mack, Mack & Waltz. Remember us when it comes to insurance.
Never wait for that first drop of water to come through your ceiling before you decide that it's time to check your roof. Once damage has set in, repairs can get much more expensive. Making a moderate investment in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing is the ultimate way to protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure and limit consequential damages due to unexpected roof problems. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with their annual service agreements that prevents leaks, provides emergency service, and increases the life expectancy of your roof. Best Roofing provides roof condition surveys and comprehensive detailed recommendations. They outline your priorities and give you a realistic budget, so there's no unwelcome surprises. Best Roofing service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, performing minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking and minor counter flashing repair, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Or visit online at bestroofing.net. That's bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585. And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
All right. How about on that note, we take Nancy from Fort Myers. How are you, Nancy?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Okay. How can we help?
Okay. We had a situation in our building where there was a leak on the 10th floor that subsequently went down to the 4th floor.
Oh.
The person who owns the 10th floor leaking unit filed a claim with her insurance company and was very, you know, forthcoming with everything. Now, what happened was the fire safety equipment people came into these units to take care of the mold and the water problem. And, you know, a lot of repairs had to be done on the 9th floor unit.
Right.
But the manager told everyone, and by the way, everyone filed a claim with their own insurance company, which was good for 60 days.
Right.
The manager told everyone not to worry that, you know, they wouldn't have to be out of pocket with any kind of money. Now, after the 60-day period, these people got hit with bills from the fire safety equipment people. And they were told if they didn't pay this money within a week, they would file a lien against the property, and they did. So each of these people have liens against their property because of what the manager told them to do.
Well, let me tell you, if the fire safety equipment is not owned by the particular unit owners and it's actually now part of the common elements or condominium association owned property, then absolutely these people should not be responsible for it. And it's something that the association should be responsible for and not the individual owners who suffered, you know, on the 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, and 4th floors. No, this, mm-hmm. again, this, if the fire equipment installation, again, and I'm sure at this point it would be considered, you know, common property or condominium-owned property and not the property owned by the individual unit owners, then no, that's a bill that the condo association has to fork up and pay, not the individual unit owners. I would disagree with that.
Okay, so then the manager should never have said that.
That's exactly right, time for the association to come out of pocket.
Okay. Well, that clarifies a lot.
Thanks, Nancy. Yeah.
Thank
you. As a matter of fact, I actually wanted to clear this up before we went to the break. You know, here's the bottom line. If there's a leak that damages a common element, the association has to repair that common element, you know, no matter what, you know, for example, a wall. And that's no matter who is at fault. So if like in Nancy's situation just now, if let's just say you had that leak on the 10th floor and it goes down to the 9th, 8th, etc. If any common elements are damaged along the way, the condo association has to repair those common areas, even if it's not the condo association's fault. When Scott and I say the condo association is only responsible for making repairs or reimbursing people if there's negligence proven, that only is for like personal property, things of that nature. In other words, there's a pipe burst and it causes damage to my floors or my personal property. I can't sue the condo association for that type of stuff unless I can prove negligence. But if a common area wall is damaged in my unit, yeah, the condo association still 100% has to fix that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here is where it comes in a lot. Let's say the unit owner's bathtub overflows and leaks into the bathroom on the owner below and destroys the owner's ceiling. If that ceiling is a common element, the association must put back that ceiling. It makes no difference that it was the upstairs neighbor's fault that the damage occurred.
Yeah. And again, just to hammer home another point, some of you may be thinking that I'm a little crazy when I suggested giving the board a key to your unit when you're gone. You know, there are listeners out there, I'm sure, who would rather leave a key to their unit with a convicted axe murderer than with their board. But, you know, let me say this. If your governing documents require that you leave a key to your unit with the board, bottom line, there's no excuse, basically, that you can come up with that's going to get you out of that requirement. You've got to leave that key.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. We've actually had to go to a court a number of times to deal with, you know, emergency leak situations because we didn't have keys. And, there's actually a lot of arbitration decisions out there that make it pretty clear that despite, you know, any fears that you might have that if you leave your key with the board, that somebody's going to, use your unit as a flop house or something like that. and if you refuse, the arbitrator, will enter an order compelling turnover a key and hit the owner with payment of the association's attorney's fees and costs.
Happens all the time. That's a losing battle to fight. How about before we go to a break, we take Steve from Lighthouse Point. How are you, Steve?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Hey, real quickly, it's a leak-related question. My sister is renting a condo in up in Palm Beach County, and a valve broke in the bathroom. She only stays there a few nights a week, so she didn't catch it. So it flooded the bathroom, flooded the bedroom, went downstairs, caused a whole lot of damage. The owner that she rents from has been very good in jumping all over it, working on the remediation and ordering carpet. Long story short is she's been out of there now for over a week, looks like another week before she can move back in. My question is, I don't know if it's a moral or legal question, would she have any right to go back to the landlord and say, look, I haven't been able to live in here for 2 weeks, but I get some sort of break or compensation on the monthly rent for the 2 weeks I've been outside of the condo.
Yeah, not a condo law question. That's a landlord-tenant question. Yeah. And oftentimes you got to look to the answer to that question in the actual written lease by and between your sister, I think you said, and the landlord of the unit. My guess would be typically landlord-tenant leases have clauses that say if the unit becomes untenantable is the word, then yes, your sister has the right to vacate the property, suspend the payment of rent. However, if the landlord fixes the problem within a reasonable period of time, let's say within 2 weeks or 30 days, your sister is still bound by the terms of the lease and has to move back in and continue with the lease payments. It doesn't mean that just because there's a leak, she gets to break the lease, for all eternity, and she's not bound by it anymore. Typically, the landlord is given a reasonable period of time, let's say up to 30 days, to make those repairs. The rent is abated during that period of time, and when the property's fixed, she moves back in and has to live out the remaining terms of that lease.
Well, she does want to move back in, and there's no bad blood between her and the landlord. And she pays her rent 2 months in advance all the time. So she's already covered for this month and next month.
Right.
Well, she just wanted, if she could go back, well, check the lease on that clause you referenced.
That's the bottom line. Well, check the lease.
Yeah, she needs to check the lease. And also, I'd recommend just possibly there's any problem down the road, she should probably consult a landlord-tenant attorney. There are plenty of them. And usually under the statute, there's something that'll protect her with respect to money that she paid while the unit was uninhabitable to get that reimbursed.
Yeah, she should be fine, though. Sounds like she has a decent relationship with the landlord. Thanks for the call, Steve, from Lighthouse Point. Okay. All right, let's take our bottom of the hour break, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585, and we'll be back right after this.
From Fort Lauderdale, using 50,000 watts of power to serve all of South Florida. We are Big Talk 850, Miami, Boca, West Palm Beach.
With so many management companies promising that they can help your community, how do you know which one to choose? How about starting with the one that has provided management services to communities in the Tri-County area for over 35 years? How about starting with Association Services of Florida? As part of the Associa family, Association Services of Florida has a service-driven dedication to five-star customer response, an unparalleled investment in employee education, and unrivaled success in residential and community association management. Associations and residents alike look to Association Services of Florida's value-added services, attention to detail, and local expertise for continuous community improvement. Our mission statement says it best, providing unsurpassed management and lifestyle services to communities worldwide. Association Services of Florida's superior senior management team has more than 55 years of combined experience managing communities and providing expert support to management, staff, and board of directors. For a free personal meeting at your community and to find out how Associa can help your condo or HOA, give us a call at 1-800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514. And visit our website at AssociaFlorida.com. Find out for yourself why Associa provides the most value per management dollar in the community association management industry. Tired of having your security company literally fall asleep on the job? Upset that your current security company only reacts after a crisis, but fails to prevent it from happening in the first place? At Alpha Security Services, we want Florida community associations to know that not all security companies are the same. We're the ones with more than 30 years of combined military and law enforcement experience. We demand an interactive approach from our security personnel and expect them not just to watch traffic come in and out of your property, but to also get out from behind the booth and patrol the community in order to keep it safe and give the owners the peace of mind they deserve. Associations today want more than just a passive approach from their security company. They want help enforcing parking restrictions, issuing violations, and even arranging for towing when the need arises. At Alpha Security Services, this is what we do. Our staff are all licensed, fingerprinted, trained, and utilize the latest in security technology to protect the associations who we work with. We even monitor your property and our personnel in real time from the most technologically advanced command and control center in the business. Bottom line, we treat your home like it's our home. Check out our website at alphasecurityservices.com or call 954-809-3333. That's 954-809-3333 for a free security analysis and quote.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learned quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? In South Florida, you have access to the finer things. Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, practicing community association law. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, just to kind of sum up what we were talking about, bottom line, if there's, let's say, a leak in a condominium, and a common element is destroyed, you know, even if that common element is a boundary wall to your unit, regardless of fault, the association absolutely has to repair that, period. The association must, again, maintain the common areas. If you're going to want additional damages, though, for, like, personal property in your office, the only way you're getting that from your association, bottom line, in that situation, you're going to have to prove negligence on behalf of the association, such as they failed to maintain the pipe, or they didn't fix it quickly enough, and that resulted in additional damages. That's basically the lesson for the day. But, all right, let's move on. And as we said before, last weekend was Memorial Day weekend, and, of course, the unofficial start of summer. And typically this is the time of year when the election season and our community associations are finally over. The Northerners go back to the north to stay cool during the summer, and it's time for kind of the rest of us to make use of all the wonderful amenities that we have in our community associations with a lot less traffic and aggravation. But many boards don't even hold meetings in the summer, and at least for a few short months, there seems to be perhaps less stress and screaming and yelling in our associations. But, you know, that's in your world. That's not the world that Scott and I live in, and because we continue to get complaints all year long, don't we, Scott?
Yeah, everybody seems to get hot and bothered in the summer. So what generally happens in the few months, the time when the elections and before everything starts up again? Well, typically we get calls and emails from people around the state with complaints about their past election, and they basically complain about a number of things, and Eric had me write them down. We get here are some of the normal complaints. We get complaints that associations are not sending out notices of the annual meeting 60 days in advance. We get complaints about associations not putting a candidate's name on the ballot.
Sometimes deliberately.
Yeah, whoops. Sometimes deliberately, or taking a name off the ballot. The ballot not listing the candidates in alphabetical order, the board sending out endorsements of candidates on association stationery.
Yeah. Happens more than you think.
Yeah, way more than you think. We also get complaints about voters being improperly denied the right to vote, and that's happening a lot more now than it even used to.
Yeah, like I'm not delinquent, yet they're telling me I'm delinquent and they won't let me vote.
We get an old favorite, ballot tampering. Right. And proxy votes being counted in condominiums.
When
and remember, there's a difference between
for
HOAs. Yeah. Yeah. We get a lot of complaints also about owners allowing other owners to cast their ballot for them, and it goes on and on. But that's the gist of it.
Yeah, needless to say, plenty of you are hip to the fact that at least in condos, there are definitely strict procedures that have to be followed in order to ensure a fair election. And if these procedures are not followed, unit owners in both condos and HOAs have the right to challenge these election results by filing a petition for arbitration with the Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
Yeah, and however, though, and this is something I think everybody in our audience knows, despite the right of all of you to have fair elections and to challenge unfair and improper results, there is a bill that is about to become law which dramatically affects your right to challenge an improperly conducted election and also attempts to eradicate your right to remove board members through the recall process during the first 60 days of their term. So let's talk about that, Eric.
Yeah, this is House Bill 73, and it was filed by Representative Moraitis. And it states that challenges to the election process must now be commenced within 60 days of the election. The problem that I have with that is that suppose you have a board or management company that won't actually give you access to the official records of that election until the 60-day period expires. You know, now, despite how many irregularities you find after the 60 days expired, you can't challenge the election results. That is hardly a friendly piece of unit owner legislation.
And I think it's ridiculous that we're having a 60-day statute of limitations for something. it's crazy. But it actually gets worse than that. And the same bill states that a unit owner can no longer file a recall petition within the first 60 days of an election or when there is fewer than 60 days remaining until the next election.
Well, let's talk about, you know, how absurd that is. You know, in all fairness, I understand the provision, you know, not allowing recall petitions to be filed if the next election is less than 60 days away. That makes sense. You know, by the time the arbitrator rules on the issues, that next election is already upon you and becomes moot. But what's the point in not allowing a recall petition to be filed for the first 60 days following an election? This I don't get. You know, according to this proposed legislation, if your new board gets elected and immediately goes rogue and starts singling out people for prosecution, or they make illegal rules, or they record illegal amendments, or they raise your budget illegally, or if they sign a contract to paint the building, you know, jet black, you still have to wait 60 days before you can file a recall petition now and try to get the board out. Again, a very, very unfriendly piece of legislation for unit owners in the state of Florida. And I, for one, I don't get it. But how about we go to Doug in Davie? How are you, Doug?
Very good. I listen to your program every week when I get a chance.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Yeah, there's a common issue that I've heard about over the years, but I never thought that I would become victim to it. That's the plumbing stopping up inside of the home,
right,
under a homeowner association condominium complex. And when the guy comes out, he pulls up with the snake, he pulls up a bunch of roots, and I've got roots in my pipe.
Okay.
I called the city of Sunrise, came out, and they said, well, right down here is the access pipe, and everything from here to the street is ours, and everything from here to your property is yours. So they ran their camera through.
Wait, this is this in a condominium association?
Yes, it's a homeowner association condominium.
Meaning what? That there's? Do you have a declaration of condominium or a declaration of covenants? Do you know?
Not exactly. They just brag that they own all the common property and all I own is the house.
Okay, all right, I gotcha.
And so the city of Sunrise came out and they put the camera on. They said, nope, not on our end. So, you know, naturally, when I contact the management company, they won't return my call and they won't return my emails, but I guess I have to wait to the homeowners association meeting before I can.
Well, let me say this: this is a condominium. You know, when this happens a lot in on first floor units in condominium associations, it actually happened to a member of my family, where the stuff starts to grow into the pipes. No question about it. At least in a condo association, that is a problem that the condominium association 100% must repair and replace. That is not a problem that the unit owner must deal with on their own volition. Now, in your situation, I'm not quite sure if you're in a HOA or a condo, but if you're in a homeowners association, might be a completely different story, and you may, in fact, be responsible for making these types of repairs. But again,
what's very interesting is on the letterhead and in the meetings, it's called a homeowners association. It's called a condominium association.
If it's called condominium association, no doubt about it that the pipes leading up to your unit, I'll guarantee it right now, unless it's basically located within your unit, that's going to be considered a common area, a common element of the condominium association, and you can bet that the condominium association is going to be responsible for the payment, the cost of the repairs to that pipe. But if you want to, take a look at your documents, again, give us a call, 855-4-CONDO-CRIS, send your documents over. We'll be glad to take a look and tell you for sure.
That's very good. I sure appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You got it, Paul. How about we go to Paul in Lighthouse Point.
Hello.
How are you, Paul?
All right, good. I was listening to your program earlier where you said people are going north. They're still responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of their apartments.
That's exactly right.
I have a problem here. I have a landlord-owned, a rental-owned property, a condo above me, and the landlord lives in Upper Michigan, and the sliding glass door on the condo has not been replaced since 1978 when they built the building, and every time the guy slides the door open above my head, my whole apartment shakes.
Well,
do I have a grounds against the landlord?
Karen's from Michigan. She's going to go there now and take care of it.
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely. 1978.
Well,
the guy is very combative. In fact, we had a problem here. Somebody a number of years ago was renting there, and they got in a fight with two, three other people. We had seven cop cars here. 4 o'clock in the morning, I called him in Michigan and told him about it. I said, what are you waking me up for?
Right.
And I said, if I can't sleep, you can't. So I'll come to Florida and I'll kick you around the block. I said, well, you got to go through Detroit. I'm going to leave a one-way ticket for you. And that's the last I heard
from you love that neighborly feeling that you get in a condominium this time of year? It's great, right? It's fun.
Well, this condo turned into a real store in the last few years.
Let's say this, though. You know, if his sliding glass doors was causing some sort of damage to your unit, did you ask the management company or the board to actually go up and take a look at the unit and see what's causing the problem?
I asked the property manager, and she says there's no problem. And I've gone through this for a number of years already. It's not doing any damage to my apartment. But when they slide the glass door, the whole apartment shakes. If I'm sleeping, it wakes me up. All right? And the rollers are all gone in the doors. There's no way to fix these rollers
because
you can't get the door.
Difficult situation. The only way you might be able to do something is to actually file a lawsuit against that owner upstairs and ask a judge to actually allow you to go inspect. Other than that, I can't see how the upstairs owner has an obligation to let you in.
My attorney told me. I guess we're going to have to sue the landlord and bring him down here from Michigan.
That's what it sounds like, Paul. But I wish you luck.
That's what the attorney said, and it's going to cost him more to come down here than to replace
the door. But I wish you good luck and a good night's sleep. All right, Paul. Okay, let's go to our final break of the hour, taking your calls, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Systems protect communities better than anyone because Invera Systems focus strictly on the unique needs of gated communities, HOAs, condo associations, and CDDs, proving Invera to be the experienced leader in community protection. Invera's virtual gate guard solution uses state-licensed virtual guards, high-resolution digital cameras, and video recorders to greet guests, contact residents, and grant or deny access at entrance points using two-way audio and one-way video. Invera now secures hundreds of gate points, access control entry points, and amenities like clubhouses, pools, and parks. Your entire community can be protected by Invera's virtual gate guards, active audio surveillance, and access control systems that will increase your community's security at a fraction of the cost of traditional security services. Contact Invera Systems today for a free security consultation. Visit us online at InveraSystems.com. That's E-N-V-E-R-A Systems.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officers and directors, director's insurance and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Almost every large building project comes with headaches. Your contractor's a nightmare. The engineer's on a different page. There's problems with the municipality, etc. Well, no more. Call Florida Construction Project Management and say goodbye to the headaches. Florida Construction Project Management can oversee any condominium, hotel, office, or other large building project and get it done as you need it done. They have no affiliation with any contractors, engineers, or suppliers. They work for you. They'll inform you of the progress, keep everyone on the same page, and ensure you're not being taken for a ride. From getting the licenses, insurance, and best quotes to making sure everything's done to code and on time, Florida Construction Project Management will get it done. Why spend personal time getting headaches? Call 954-445-0862 or visit flcpm.com. Florida Construction Project Management. Finally, a company that can help. 954-445-0862 or flcpm.com. License number CGC 1513108.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
The final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro. Call us at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
All right, how about we go to Elaine in Boynton. How are you, Elaine?
Hello, Elaine.
I'm great. How are you?
Okay, how can we help?
Well, I was wondering if we have to, if we have to change our bylaws and our covenants if we are in conflict with 720 or, for instance, we're all in violation of a specific bylaw. Do we have to go before the members?
Using 50,000 watts of power to serve all of South Florida.
Sorry, Elaine.
Big Talk, 850.
Miami. Don't know how that happened.
Okay.
Okay, sorry about that, Elaine.
Okay. Should I repeat it?
Yeah, no, I heard what you said. You want to know whether or not you have to change your governing documents, your bylaws, because you feel you're in conflict with Florida Statute 720?
Yes.
Okay, tell me what you mean. What statute, how are your documents in conflict?
Well, there might be something that says...
You're saying generally, do you have to change it?
Generally, yeah.
Oh, well, no, generally speaking... Again, it's a little different when it comes to HOAs because of the what's called the Cone case, whether or not you're automatically adopting amendments to the statute as they get adopted. But things that are procedural in nature, without getting too complicated, a lot of things automatically are changed and automatically happen regardless of whether or not you are actually amending your governing documents. So... what I suggest to boards, you know, a lot of times boards come in, for example, from either a condo or an HOA, and they'll say to Scott and I, these documents are so old, they're meaningless, they mean nothing.
Can I do my spiel?
Yeah, and they want to do the whole thing over, and we say to them, slow down.
My spiel is usually this. Oh, we would love to charge you tens of thousands of dollars to rewrite your documents if that's what you really want, but... The statutes apply regardless, so you really don't have to do anything, and you just need to comply with what the law is.
Yeah, I mean, certain things, obviously, you may want to change, but don't freak out just because the law has changed over the years. Some of the things may apply. Some of the things may not apply. And
so when you know you're in conflict with certain documents or some of your bylaws may be we're all in violation, we make our homeowners sign the receipt of the documents when they purchase here.
Right.
But shouldn't there be some mechanism to let them know which ones may be superseded by a current 720?
Well, respectfully, we take it as a job of this firm. When laws change, we advise our clients, you know, specifically what those changes are to the laws each year. And if the association is doing the right thing, they should take that letter or those changes and pass it on to their owners. We have no problem with them doing that. That's probably a good idea. Okay, but don't freak out just because your documents don't exactly mirror the statute. Good idea to sit down with your attorney once, figure out what you guys believe don't match and what you're concerned about, and let your attorney tell you whether or not you need to worry about it, because oftentimes you don't.
And if you need an attorney to do something like that, where can they find one?
I have no idea. Give us a call, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, Elaine. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, how about we go to Ed in Boca?
Hi, Eric. A quick question for you. In my condo, in the docs, etc., it states that in the percentage of ownership in the building, it varies.
Yes.
From unit to unit based on, I guess, your square footage.
Right.
And in the building, there were a few non-performing units. And the board president decided that for the non-performing units, each unit owner would be assessed an additional money each month or each quarter in the payments evenly, as opposed to based on the percentage of ownership. Is that illegal?
When you say non-performing units, you mean people that are not paying. They're going to be assessed a greater fee, but that fee is going to depend upon the size of their unit?
In other words, there's certain people not paying.
Right.
So the people that are paying were assessed on a even scale.
But the people that aren't paying.
But the percentage of ownership in the building and so on is all based differently.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should be done that way. If anything, it would have to be voted on by the association member.
Not even that. The bottom line is, it seems to me, what your president is really trying to do is hit the non-performing, as you say, or non-paying unit owners with penalties of some kind. And the penalties that that non-paying unit owners are subject to are late fees and interest. And it depends what those fees are in your governing documents. For example, and it's limited. In other words, your remedies are limited to what you can do to these non-paying people. It's limited by the statute. Statute says, okay, you can hit everybody with interest, but your interest rate that they have to pay is determined by what's in your governing documents. Could be as high as 18%. A lot of documents just say, you know, the maximum amount allowable by law. Right now in Florida, it's 18% interest. So you can definitely hit them with that. You can hit them, you know, with interest payments across the board, the same. You can also hit them, if your documents allow, for administrative late fee for up to $25 per month. But your documents have to allow for that. But what you can do is do anything other than that. In other words, your remedies against the non-paying unit owners are actually limited to those things in terms of making them pay additional costs and additional expenses. It's interest at a maximum rate of 18% and late fees at a maximum amount of $25 per month, but it's got to be in your governing documents.
Okay, but for the people, though, that are paying,
right?
Why would we be assessed make up for the people that aren't?
Well, the condo statute allows for that. The condo statute allows for that. And again, just because, and let me answer another question. Just because the statute or the condo documents say everybody owns the percentage of shares in the common elements differently, doesn't mean that everybody gets to pay a different amount each month. It depends how the documents are written.
Right.
Give us a call and we'll be able to tell you what those expenses should be. Okay, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, but I hear the music playing, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to yet another week. We'll see you same time, same channel next week. Have a great week, everybody. Take care.